Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Tuesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Still in person, still in studio for one more hour together up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. In just a couple of moments, we will be joined by our coach, J.Y. James Young, in our next segment to recap the national championship game, take an early look at the season ahead, and maybe some NBA thoughts down the home stretch of this regular season. But DRS for us, we start each and every third hour by hearing from the people. I think yesterday the public was on it, right? They liked Florida with a slight edge on the money line, and the under had more of the bets than the over.
Yeah.
I tried to fade the public.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. We'll see if we will do the same here to start off our third and final hour. Let's get to it. It's fade the public. How do you like this phrase? Oh. At Sports Grid on Twitter, on a scale of 1 to 4, because we only have 4 options, with 4 being the most, how much did you enjoy the 2025 men's NCAA tournament? 4, 3, 2, or 1? Most of the public in the 2 to 3 range, the most selected option, around 32%, was at 3, so we'll call it like 75, 80%. I loved it. 4 at about 24.4%. DRS, which way did you vote here in this fade the public?
I wrote a 4. I put that down because not that my favorite team won the championship, but it's just that I love the fact that you get the top seeds in the biggest games, and that's what we got. The Elite Eight was sensational. The Final Four was sensational, and so was the national championship game. Now, granted, I could see where some people might have put a 3 down because I think we were robbed a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're not putting down Houston. But when we talk about aesthetically pleasing basketball, Houston doesn't come to mind, but they're a much better version of what we used to get out of Virginia. Like, please just knock them out of the tournament. I don't want to see this brand anymore. They play hard-nosed defense. They're a fun team to watch, but at the same time, boy, they'd be even more fun if their games were priced at 155 or 160, like the Duke Blue Devils, which I thought were going to match up against the Florida Gators. That's the only reason why I think the 3. But again, I went 4 because I was thoroughly impressed all the way through with the level of talent from the upper echelon teams, and expectations were met. And I can see where some people voting 1, Ben, because why? They lost money, their pool guy didn't come in, and it was boring Final Four because they picked all underdogs, which sometimes you get much more underdog victories. But for me, I always like to say, underdogs are fantastic in the moment until they win, and then you realize what you could have had in the next game. Yeah. Even though the underdogs are deserving to be there because they won the game. But that's why I picked the 4. I got exactly what I wanted. I had all 4 Final Four teams as number one seeds. They made it there, which means we got the best of the best in the biggest moment.
This poll is called Fade the Public, and that's exactly what I am doing. I am slightly disappointed in all of you. 4 should have been the answer. Now, I guess I can understand some of the rationale. What is this tournament normally known for? It's chaos and it's madness. It is literally called March Madness. We did not really have those moments in the opening weekend, round of 64 or the round of 32. The idea of the glass slipper and Cinderella wasn't really a thing here. Of course, the first tournament in a very long time that no seeds 13 through 16 were able to win a game in the NCAA tourney. I understand that. But if that's going to be the case, then the rest of the tournament has to deliver second weekend and especially into the Final Four with four of the best teams all on the one line that we had seen in college basketball in the last 25 years, and it did exactly that. All three games in San Antonio decided by 6 points or fewer. 11 total points the margin for those three basketball matchups, the third fewest ever in the history of the men's NCAA tournament. And yes, not 78-76 yesterday. Even 65-63 can be exciting. When your national championship game in any sport, game seven, whatever it might be, in any sport at any level, comes down to the final play of regulation to decide a championship, I will always consider that thrilling and exciting and highly, highly enjoyable, which is what we had last night, DRS, between Houston and Florida.
Absolutely, and that's what you can ask for as a fan. But you tell me that, again, getting to the Final Four, the jokes sometimes are, I can miss the first game because I could just watch the second game. That's the primetime game. Both of those games were primetime games and equally sensational in their own right. And then you take that day to decompress on a Sunday, watch a little women's championship game. Then you get right back to the men's, 8:50, 8:55, whenever that start was last night, and you try to enjoy it. And we weren't hoping for, like, oh, the underdog or a 9.5-point spread. It was a 1.5-point line last night. What did the game end? A 2-point game. Yeah. Everything you can ask for. Comebacks alike. Absolutely enthralling TV because if you get the wire-to-wire winner, hey, they're up 10 from the first 7 minutes of the game. They carried all the way through. Yeah, it's enjoyable if you bet or maybe had some good dunks or good 3-point shots that you liked. But the fact that you had a game under 2 minutes to go with all the pressure on the line within one possession, what more can you ask for in a championship game? Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Sure, it wasn't a buzzer beater, but it was a buzzer beating defensive play and stop by the Florida Gators. Florida led in the national championship game for a total of 63 seconds. The largest advantage the Gators have was two. Donnie, they had a 2-point lead for 17 seconds early in the opening half, 15-37 to 15-20, and took their first lead of the second half with 46.5 ticks remaining on those Elijah Martin free throws. That was it. And the Gators still found their way to a national championship victory. Again, for me, a thrilling and a full four. Yes, you would love to see some Cinderellas. You would love to have those March headlines as we have had the past few years. But although we had 4-1 seeds get to the Final Four for just the second time ever in the Big Dance and the first time since 2008.
Yeah.
Donnie, to see a 1 seed win a national championship, to see 1 seeds play in the national championship game is not surprising. 5 of our last 6 national title winners have been a 1 seed, the one exception 2 years ago, UConn, who was on the 4 line. 14 of our last 18 national champions have been a 1 seed. Since the tournament field expanded to 64 in 1985, 26 of the 40 national champions have been a 1 seed. And now with all 4 1 seeds getting to the Final Four this time around, 1 seeds have reached the Final Four 66 times total.
Yeah.
That is more than the 60 times that seeds 2 through 4 have been to the Final Four. Why do I say that? Cream rises to the top, and that's what we saw here with 4 of the best basketball teams that had been constructed in the last 2-plus decades.
Exactly, and a lot of people filling out their pools going like, well, I think all 4 number one seeds are the best, but that never usually happens. I got to switch it up, and you didn't need to do that this year. And the same thing with the championship game. Nobody was surprised that Houston made the final. They were fantastic all season long. Nobody surprised the Florida Gators made the final at that point. Maybe a little bit of the way they got there, talking about Houston and the claps that the Duke Blue Devils had, but equally deserving. Any team last night that won, whether it was Houston or Florida, no complaints either way around, deserving to be so. One of the best teams in college basketball, and we got that type of effort last night. It's just amazing that down the stretch, again, we are human beings. You play so well throughout the game, but the minute that pressure starts to ramp up, things start to go haywire. Multiple turnovers down the stretch by Houston, which is not their MO. They just couldn't close the door and get stops on defense, not their MO, which made for a great, great theater tale.
All 3 games played inside the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. The team trailing at the half. 1, fantastic. Incredible. If you followed us on Sports Grid's Bracket Central, live betting wagers to be cashed up and down the board in every single game. And Donnie, I will just say this. There was some conversation, of course, with the lack of Cinderella runs here in the Big Dance. I do not prescribe to the notion that Cinderella is dead because of the NIL and transfer portal era in collegiate athletics. Just because it happened one year with four of the best basketball teams we have ever seen on the one line does not mean it will be the case each and every time. Think about 2023. Think about 2022. Just a couple of years ago, Fairleigh Dickinson, or 2023, I should say, Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue in that opening round.
And Peters game. And the boys, too, man.
That was two. That was the year before in 2022, the first ever 15 seed to reach the Elite Eight. All of that happening after NIL became a thing. Our coach, J.Y. James Young, joins us next, live right here in studio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We welcome you back to the Early Line, bright and early on this Tuesday morning, alongside our coach, J.Y. James Young. We're here, right? We're good? Yeah, we are.
Yeah, come on
right
now.
Oh, there we are.
Let's roll.
Come on, J.Y. is here. We got to get in the mix. We got to get ready to go. All right, J.Y., as we think about what we saw last night as we were live together for Sports Grid's Bracket Central coverage of the National Championship game, we recap it here. Tie a bow on this 2024-25 college basketball campaign, and we take an early look at next year as well. Before we transition to the association and get your thoughts on the final week of this regular season, how does that sound like a plan to you?
Yeah.
Sounds like a great scouting report of what's about to come up for the next half hour. And, you know, obviously tonight I actually get to sleep.
You get to sleep?
Yeah. Ooh. Well, no, with the puppy coming.
You know, he stayed up the entire game.
Whole time.
No.
Whole time.
Whole game? You didn't watch it this morning? You watch it, like, live?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, watch it live all last night.
Oh,
hit the bullet. Hit the bullet. Alarm goes off 4 a.m. Here we are in the studio.
Let's drop. Yeah. How many hours of sleep you got?
Four, maybe? I went to bed about midnight. Yeah.
Yeah, about
probably
four.
Three and a half for me.
But we do for the people.
With the enthusiasm.
For the people.
Yeah, we do that for you here on the Early Line. J.Y., let's look back on what we saw last night. One final time in the national championship game. You, myself, Kevin Walsh, here on this desk, watching the comeback that Florida pulled off, down by as many as 12 early in that second half, fighting, clawing their way back, and then those final 20 seconds. In that final possession for Houston, not able to get a shot up, loose ball on the floor. Alex Condon of the Gators dives on it, recovers, and Florida wins a national championship for the third time in program history. As you have thought back on last night, as you sat here on this desk, what is your overall takeaway for the Gators' national crown?
That they at no point put together 40 minutes of basketball, but they put together minutes of basketball when they had to. You look at the second half, obviously, against Maryland. You talk about the comeback that they had versus Texas Tech. This was a Florida team that was playing better than maybe anyone in the country going into the NCAA tournament that really never played their best basketball, but they played the right basketball at the right time. And for them to make that comeback, it's kind of crazy because it's kind of like turnaround is fair play, right? We saw Texas Tech, big comeback late, turnaround, choke next time. You saw, you know, obviously Houston, big comeback versus Duke. Then they turn around next game and they fumble it. So, you know, to me, it's really a testament of Todd Golden and his maturity at 39. The adjustments that he made from the first to the second half, going to the horn set, getting Walter Clayton off the ball and running more screening action for him. Got a couple of backdoor layups, got a nice rescreen off the horn set. It was just magical, smart basketball from someone at 39 years old to adjust on the fly like that. I was really, really impressed.
You take a look at Walter Clayton, coach, 0 points at the half, 11 points in the second half, named the MOP. But understanding this, handicapping this game for me, watching it before it played out, saying, you know what, he's going to have a big game if they want to win. 25, 26 plus points, which is what he's been doing throughout the entire tournament. But I found myself watching this game saying, Houston might win this game by 15 or 20 points. And it was a close game early on, but you saw the defensive sets like Houston. Florida had no answers for what they were doing. You said to yourself, sooner or later, Houston's going to find the rhythm on offense as one of the most efficient teams in the country on offense as well as defense, and it never happened. Why did it never happen or click for the Houston offense?
It just their inability to knock down threes. The best three-point shooting team in the country couldn't hit big shots in the moment. And if you really peel back and look at the Houston shooting, right, they're 230th or 240th in two-point shooting percentage. And then you look at the number of free-throw attempts per field goal attempts, they were, I think, in the 330s, if I'm not mistaken. So this is the Houston team that lived and died at the three-point line. They were ice cold versus Duke. They got hot late first half and carried over to second half, and it just didn't transition over to this game. I just thought that, you know, Florida found different ways. Houston stayed what they did offensively. You saw Florida go to the wing ball screen late first half, get the bigs on the roll, get them involved. Walter Clayton Jr. doing a good job of passing, getting other guys the ball, and then switching their offense in the second half. They adjusted simply, Donnie. Houston did not.
Houston, 6 of 25 from beyond the arc last night. LJ Cryer making 4 of those 6 Cougs triples by himself. The nation's best three-point shooting team entering the NCAA tournament. And last night at nearly a 40% clip, 24% from 3, 6 of 25. Of course, JY, that final play with fewer than 20 seconds left, the Cougs going the length of the floor and ending up in the hands of Emmanuel Sharpe, but not a shot at the rim will be dissected for Houston and Sting for this Cougars side. As you have looked back on that play from your coaching lens, as you have examined it, what went wrong for Houston?
Well, first things first, folks, I think if I'm not mistaken, Houston had 3 turnovers in the last minute 40,
right?
So they couldn't get shots off. Simply put, Kelvin said they did not go for the win. They went for the win. They ran a rescreen stagger for Cryer, and then they tried to run an elevator for Sharpe. Those are both three-point shots. Now, Emmanuel Sharpe had his shot blocked twice, I do believe, from three. He had enough time to catch, slide, dribble to the left, and get a clean look. But what you had is a kid that kind of panicked. And Walter Crane Jr. did a great job of closing out. Francis was late on the elevator screen, which gave him a pathway through. And then, listen, he jumped and he dropped the ball. Just so people understand, he can't pick it up. It's a double dribble. People are like, oh, I picked the ball. No, it's a double dribble. He did the right thing by trying to hold off, but no one reacted. So to me, execution down the stretch of Houston, which won them the game versus Duke, lost them the game last night versus Florida.
Yes, it certainly did. We will remember the Cougs for that thrilling comeback in the Final Four, matching the third largest comeback ever in the history of the men's Final Four. We will also remember the Gators for what they did in their comeback attempts throughout this NCAA tournament. I said attempts, comeback success for Florida. Down by double digits with 5.5 minutes remaining against Texas Tech. They win the game in the Elite Eight in the West Regional Final in San Francisco. Down by 8 against Auburn at the break on Final Four Saturday night. Down by as many as 9 early in the second half. Florida rallies for a win to advance to the national championship, trailing by 12 last night against Houston. They end the year winning the national championship despite leading in the title game for a total of 63 seconds. We'll tie a bow on what Florida did this year, JY, as well as the rest of the men's NCAA tournament before we look forward to the year that is to come in a crazy offseason with the transfer portal open ahead in college hoops. Next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live right here on the Early Line on this Tuesday morning, continuing to recap and react with our coach, to what we saw last night in a national championship game. JY, at the end of this college basketball season, 40 total games played by the Gators in 4-1, 36 of them. They covered in their final two and the final four against their SEC mate in Auburn, and of course, ever so slightly in a national championship contest last night against Houston, the best high major cover team in college hoops. But we look at the preseason odds outlook for UF, a 60-1 number, not even inside the top 15 or even inside the top 20. How did the Gators, in year number three in Gainesville under Todd Golden, figure things out this season to become the most dangerous and most successful team in college basketball?
You know, I talked about it last night with Houston, but Florida's the same thing. They had experience. I think they had 7 of 9 guys return from last year's team. They supplemented through the portal and not went and got everyone out of the portal. And listen, the reason why they were also so disrespected, let's be honest, is, if I'm not mistaken, first team to win a championship without a top 100 recruit on their roster. So they didn't have the sexy names that really made people think that they could make a run. But they had togetherness. They had depth. And at the end of the day, when you win a tournament like this, kind of like Dante DiVincenzo goes off when Villanova won, you had to have other guys step up. Real Richard was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think he was only going to hit a three in the first half of the game last night. So, you know, you had contributions up and down the roster instead of just leaning on one guy like a Walter Clayton Jr., which is impressive because I thought it was going to go the other way. Houston kind of freaking choosing who would be the guy. But what a great job by Todd Golden. Obviously, first national championship since Billy Donovan. 39 years old,
yeah,
is showing himself to be one of the best coaches in college basketball today.
He minted already. 39 years old in college basketball, can write his ticket probably the rest of the way. And that is a tough deal to do as a young coach to win that early. And sometimes it takes you two or three times to get to the Final Four before you even get to the championship game. He knocked that down right away. But also understand this. Like, Florida played in the toughest conference, coach, throughout the season in the SEC. What I was most impressed with was, you know, it's not the players themselves. It's the coaching staff and setting a belief in those players. Hey, guys, we've been here before. Don't worry about it. You're going to face adversity. We're going to power through this. They did it multiple times in this tournament and won a championship, which speaks to the future of this team. Like, players are going to come and go. But if that coaching staff has those kids believing that they can win at all costs, coach, what an unbelievable future for the Gators right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely an unbelievable future. And obviously we have to see, you know, what happens with guys leaving. Walter Clayton Jr., Will Richard, we'll see what happens with a guy like Condon.
Yeah.
You know, does he try and test the draft waters where he could be probably, I would say, rumor is a late first-round pick. So you'll got to see what happens. But this is where the fun begins, because teams that we think are going to be Team A are going to be Team B, because we don't even know what's going to happen now in the next, I think, 3 to 4 weeks with the transfer portal.
Todd Golden, the youngest head coach to win a national championship in D1 men's college basketball since Jimmy V did so back in 1983, sadly for Houston, also at the expense of the Cougs. Todd Golden did not have a single NCAA tournament win as a head coach in his career until the 2025 Big Dance. He ends with 6 and a national championship trophy. But because of some of that roster turnover, of course, for this experienced Gators team, our reigning national champs, JY, will not enter 2025-26 as the favorites with a top 5 number even inside the top 10. It is 25-1 on Florida. As we look at the rest of the national title odds for next season, of those early projected odds, still with a ton of movement expected with the transfer portal wide open right now, which team catches your eye?
Honestly, to me, I look, me as a coach, and I've looked at it, I want experience, and I want to supplement via the portal. That's Purdue. I mean, listen, someone is going to try and give Braden Smith the bag. So it's gonna be, that's going to be the one domino I want to watch with Purdue if he comes back. You bring him and Laurier back in the backcourt. Kaufman Wren, obviously, in the front court. Then obviously you look at the kid they got from South Dakota State. It's a big-time scorer.
Yeah.
And then you have Jacobson, who got hurt, who's at a 7-1-7-2 monster, and a team that has experience getting to the Final Four. Like I said, coaching, guard play, experience, seniors. Purdue right now, out of all those teams at the top of the board, I would feel more comfortable with, as long, Donnie, as Braden Smith comes back.
Like it.
30 seconds left here, JY. Would you recommend betting these prices now or with the transfer portal wide open and a lot to be figured out waiting on these numbers? Of course, we've got a long time until November.
Unless you're Martha Stewart and got insider information, I would not. Maybe on the women's side, TCU.
They
Miles this morning, who forwent
horns up
the WNBA draft, and she will now be in Dallas. NBA's final week of the regular season. Now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final week of the 2024-25 NBA regular season. Just 5 days remain until regular season finale Sunday, where all 30 NBA clubs will have played their 82nd regular season game. Still some postseason positioning to figure out around the association. And JY, that includes in the Eastern Conference, a marquee matchup on this Tuesday night slate. A 10-game NBA docket that we have in ahead, including inside Madison Square Garden. Is there a turbine?
That's a crowd noise. They love it. We're a live studio audience.
It's like Saturday night when they were doing the Severance event down here, and they would open up the door. That's the kind of enthusiasm that JY brings.
New York
Knicks, with one more win, clinched the number 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics still technically alive for the number 1 overall seed as the reigning champs, but as we'll discuss in just a little bit, the Cavs, double-digit home favorite tonight against Chicago. They win. They are the 1 seed in the Eastern Conference. But JY, a huge game tonight inside the world's most famous arena that actually sees the Knicks as an ever-so-slight favorite against the Seas. Total stands at 221 and a half. Again, from the postseason positioning standpoint, a little bit to figure out in the Eastern Conference. But outside of positioning, it feels like a proven opportunity for New York, who was 0-6 this year against both Boston and Cleveland, and 0-6 against the number as well. Will the Knicks make a statement tonight inside the Garden?
It's more than 0-6. It's 0-8 if you count Oklahoma City. Yeah. And I think every game but one, they've lost by double digits. This is the prove it game for the Knicks. You know, and this is the first time all year that they're going to have everyone available, including Mitchell Robinson, which kind of changes the defense of the Knicks. This is a big game, and if I'm Tibbs, I have to go for it because I need this for my psyche. I need it for my team psyche, and honestly, I need it for the fan base psyche like myself, who has seen this team fumble any opportunity they've had in a big game. So I think the Knicks will try and go for it and get the win. If you want to look at anything, maybe look at that under 222 as Tips will probably slow this game down. Mitchell Robinson, offensive rebounding, along with shot blocking, but not an offensive threat. I think the Knicks get the win. More importantly, I think the game goes under. The Knicks will play this game tonight, Donnie, like it is a playoff matchup.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one, too, because the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey opened up as a 3-point favorite for the Boston Celtics. And as this morning moves on, as you saw that graphic at +1, now shifting actually -1.5 points for the New York Knicks, which does say that, yes, the Knicks are healthy, but also who's actually going to be in the starting lineup for the Boston Celtics. Understand this. Theoretically, trying to catch Cleveland, not going to catch them.
Right.
Do they want to say, you know what, now's the time. We're going to rotate each game here. We're not going to max things out. We're going to take our number 2 seed. But the most important thing, to be healthy by the time the playoffs start, which means we just saw a game a few days ago, Coach, Lakers and the Thunder. Sunday afternoon, most people are like, okay, I'm getting ready for the women's championship game and or tomorrow's national championship game. An absolutely unbelievable performance by the Lakers dismantling the OKC Thunder. Now, here's what we like, Coach. Line opens up in New Jersey, -8.5. Say, well, that's pretty strong right there as a favorite for OKC. Yeah, maybe they handle their business. We're now up to 14.5 points here, which lets us know Luka Doncic and LeBron James maybe not playing at all in this game. So OKC, 2 touchdowns as a favorite, looking for revenge tonight.
Looking for major revenge tonight. And an Oklahoma City Thunder team that really has not put the pedal off a lot. But here's the thing. You got to keep looking every half, every 30 minutes past the hour. The NBA will release their injury report. So you look at right now with the Lakers. Luka, questionable. Mm-hmm. LeBron, questionable. You already have Rui Hachimura out. Austin Reeves, questionable. Right? So that's something to watch for. We talked about Boston. You have a bunch of those guys questionable as well. Do you punt? The interesting thing is, you know, for the Lakers, though, the West is so jammed up. Do they want to take a chance in losing a game tonight? That's the thing you have to think about. Boston, you're right. They're not going to catch Cleveland. It makes no sense. For me, if you want to rest guys tonight, you got to rest him. But that means for New York, you better win and win comfortably. But it'll be interesting what happens with the Lakers without playoff positioning in the West.
Even the Lakers at full strength are going to be an underdog tonight in OKC against OKC, especially with the Thunder trying to exact revenge. But I don't think the Lakers should be taking any nights off. They have a game and a half lead over the Nuggets for that three spot. Denver currently the four seed in the Western Conference. Denver only has three more games remaining. This will be LA's fourth to last. But again, if you're the three seed right now, if you were to reach the second round, you would take on the Rockets by the odds makers. The Lakers would be a pretty hefty favorite to win that series. If you are the four seed and you were to reach the second round, OKC awaits with home floor advantage. It benefits the Lakers to be the three seed in the Eastern, in the Western Conference, rather. It is also very interesting to see LA as a 14.5 point underdog now. And what you just mentioned about the availability report for LA, but in the prop market, which is often an indication of who is going to play, especially this early on in a day, Luka Doncic, LeBron James, and Austin Reeves all have points props out there. Do with that what you will. Luka Doncic had a 30-point performance in that road win against OKC on Sunday, the Lakers winning by nearly 30, 27 points outright as a 9.5 point underdog. Right now, JY, Oklahoma City, a minus 150 favorite to win the Western Conference crown. The Lakers actually have the second best number at plus 650. When you have such a hefty favorite in OKC as the West's number one seed, of course, that can provide value in many different spots for every other team that will see the postseason around the Western Conference. If you had to look at one of those long numbers, who gets your attention?
Well, to me, it's Minnesota because of the fact that they have the moxie and obviously the closer in Anthony Edwards. And then obviously game slows down. That's where maybe Rudy Gobert could be more effective in half-court defense. But to me, it's hate to say it, we said it, Knicks fans, it's about Julius Randle. Like, which Randle do you get? You get regular season Randle? You get playoff Randle. But here's the scary thing in the West, why the East is pretty much decided, 1-6. You got to think about it. Denver, Clippers, Golden State, Minnesota, Memphis, they're all tied in the loss column. So seeds 4-8 have not been decided. And the Lakers are only two up on the three slot. So a lot of this is going to go to the markets are going to move, guys, because this is going to be about matchups. Who matches up with who? Lakers got to stay at three. You know, listen, at the end of the day, you don't want that 4-5 matchup with Denver. I don't want any part of Nikola Jokic, you know, with Jackson Hayes and Alex Len and Rui Hachimura trying to stop the Joker in a 7-game series. I don't care what happened during the regular season. Playoff basketball, Mike Malone punted on one of those games, probably both of them. I would watch out. We have to see the matchups, Ben, because that's going to dictate what's going to happen in the West.
And by the way, what's going to happen in the West might be a factor there for the Golden State Warriors playing really good basketball since acquiring Jimmy Butler. They're going to take on the Phoenix Suns tonight. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook overnight, -6 here in New Jersey, now sitting at -9.5. Total in that game, 228.5, dropping a little bit to 227 live. The Phoenix Suns, I guess they could be in tank mode at this point. After Kevin Durant got injured, their playoff hopes basically up in smoke, with the Warriors looking to exact some revenge here and say, you know what? We might be able to continue to improve our seeding. Every win matters for the Warriors right now, Coach.
Yeah, that's why you got to like Golden State. And obviously, if you've watched not just Durant being hurt, Bradley Beal, oh my God. Like, what happened to this guy?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, by the way, shout out to Bradley Beal. Best contract of all time. Yes. No trade clause. Got himself to Phoenix. Yep. And then just, like, right down. So, to me, Phoenix is the team to watch right now. But in the offseason, do they go for their fourth coach in 4 years?
True.
Does Kevin Durant get traded? Does Booker want out?
Sure.
Who wants Bradley Beal? Mm. Maybe the Shanghai Sharks.
Yep.
Maybe now someplace you can send him. But there is problems in Phoenix. I would lay the wood tonight on Golden State.
Ooh. Yeah, Golden State also, since Jimmy Butler entered the starting lineup, his first game against the Bulls back on February 8th, 21-6 straight up. That line doesn't feel strong enough for the direction the Suns are trending and where the Dubs are heading as well. Quickly, JY, in our final seconds together, Eastern Conference title odds, Boston the odds-on favorite, Cleveland second best price than everybody else. Is that the Eastern Conference Finals matchup already?
Yes, unless the Knicks show me something tonight with a big win. But I need everyone playing for Boston in order to think that.
Yeah, a statement win potentially for the Knicks. A slight favorite tonight.
Should have
been
in the studio?
JY, fade away.
Whoa.
In person.
TCU 31, go get it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A full Major League Baseball slate on this Tuesday. That means 15 games, all 30 MLB teams in action today on the diamond. Now, it might be in a couple of chilly spots early here in April. How does that impact our handicapping, both who wins the game and how many runs we see today around MLB? But when you have all 30 clubs, you are going to have some great matchups. Yesterday, No runs for the Rangers DRS inside the friendly confines and a very chilly day in the Windy City. Great pitching performance out of the lefty in Justin Steele. The Cubs win 7-0 over Texas. The Cubbies off to an 8-5 start. The favorites once again today at home, -144 against Texas. Over-under stands at 8. More runs to be had today in Wrigley, or again, scoring at a premium?
Scoring is going to be at a premium. Let's just say total at 7.5, and you try to work off of that. 38 degrees at first pitch tonight, only getting colder as the night goes on, and a 7-mile-an-hour wind blowing in from right field. Never a good sign. But last night, the Chicago Cubs here, even in really cold conditions, scored 7 runs, and that's probably the way that I would lean. Not towards the total in this game, which I do think stays under the 7.5, but maybe towards the Chicago Cubs. Limited at-bats on the season. Patrick Corbin's going to make his first start. Struggled last year with right-handed batters, 621 he faced. That was an ISO power number of 205 and a weighted on-base percentage of 377 and a K rate of below 20%. That's not great. You take a look at the estimated Cubs lineup tonight, it's going to be chock full of right-handed batters, but also look at the weighted on-base percentages for the Cubs this year against left-handed pitching. Suzuki, 714, Tucker, 417, Turner, 40, Swanson, 348, Horner, 340, Shaw, 527, Kelly also at a 527. So for me in this game, I do think it stays under the total, but if you are looking for it to maybe a team total, which by the way, Ben, last night 2.5, like -150 of how cold it was with a total of 6 yesterday, they were able to hit. Why not? Cubs are used to this. They'll probably be able to hit tonight. I will take them at that -144 price just to win the ball game and take the stress out of it.
DRS, you said it earlier, 6.5, 6 the total yesterday on a cold day in Chicago. If you would have said the Rangers didn't play a single run, you're like, man,
under city.
What a sensational day. Ian Happ, 3 RBIs for the Cubs. They score 7. Chicago, 8 wins already, 8-5 atop the NL Central. 8 wins as well for your AL pennant pick before the year in the Rangers. They're 8-3, best record in the American League West. What a great divisional duel. What a great pitching matchup we have today in Atlanta. The Braves will send out the reigning NL Cy Young winner in Chris Sale to take on a Cy Young contender we expect this year in the Phils, Zach Wheeler. Philadelphia, after winning the weekend against the LA Dodgers, trying to ride that momentum into the A. The Braves, an ever-so-slight favorite, -118 on the money line, a total DRS today in Atlanta of 7. Will this game, with the pitching matchup we expect, live up to its
goal? I think it will, and I don't know if we get to 8 runs in this game, which probably the under is the total, and 7 is low, like 3-3 going to extras. That's probably going to be easily hit at that point. You're hoping for maybe a 4-2 game, maybe a 4-3 game at the worst, and then you take that push and keep it moving. You take a look at Chris Sale, as Ben pointed out, sensational season last year as a left-handed pitcher, 703 batters faced, a 101 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 260, 43 batters faced this year on the early season. You take a look at the ISO power number, 103 weighted on base percentage, 293. He's right back at it. And the Phillies do tend to struggle, at least with starting pitchers that do have a good form like Chris Sale has. So I don't know how much offense we're getting out of the Philadelphia Phillies. Now let's flip it over to the Atlanta batters. How much offense are you getting out of the Atlanta Braves? Almost nothing to start the season. Crazy. And then you take a look at Zach Wheeler coming to town, possibly winning the Cy Young or had a chance to win the Cy Young last year. 814 batters he faced, a 132 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 256. You look at this season, ISO power number against low, weighted on base percentage low, and you take a look at the temperatures, which typically in Atlanta, I mean, they're not hot this time of year, but right. usually 60, maybe 70 degrees, 53 degrees at first pitch tonight, an 8-mile-an-hour wind blowing out. Should help a little bit, but this game to me, Ben, under the total, no doubt about it.
DRS, a 3-game set for Atlanta this weekend at home against Miami. The finale on Sunday was postponed, so the Braves have only played 9 games, but they are the only team in Major League Baseball with only one win. They are off to a 1-8 start. Again, one fewer game than most for Atlanta, but still the only team in MLB that hasn't at least compiled 30 total runs so far this season.
Brutal
it has been
offense.
A struggle for the Braves, who started 0-7. No team has ever started 0-7 and reached the Major League Baseball postseason.
Yep.
If you're looking for some optimism in Atlanta, at least it's an expanded postseason now in MLB. But a putrid start for a team that had the second best number before the year got started to win the National League pennant. Does that open up the NL East with the Phils in command for other teams like the Mets? We expect to be a playoff contender as well. New York with a big victory yesterday, 2-0 inside Citi Field against the Miami Marlins, have now won 5 straight games. Some day baseball at Citi around a 4 p.m. Eastern time scheduled start as we have the Mets and the Marlins. Minus 290 price on New York. Donnie, yesterday, minus 275 favorite. They cashed that, winning by 2 and even the run line. If you want to back the Mets on the run line, it's a run and a half at minus 122. Will they make it 6 straight today against the Phillies?
I believe they will. And again, a heavy favorite, they're supposed to do that. But understand this, too. You take a look at the Marlins. Where are they from? Miami. Yes, they play in a dome, but it's warm weather temperatures. You're just getting out of spring training. The last thing you want to do is come north to play in some brutally cold conditions, which you saw last night. No runs for the Marlins, only 2 for the New York Mets. Now, granted, Mets were 1 of 10 with runners in scoring position last night. Certainly didn't help the cause, but they still got the win. That's what's most important. Yeah. Afternoon game today, Ben, 42 degrees. Wind blowing in from left field, 19 miles per hour. So when you couple that 42 degrees with 20-mile-an-hour winds, it's going to be freezing cold once again. You take a look at the lineup here for the New York Mets, which has been decent this year against right-handed pitching. Connor Gillespie comes to town struggling against right-handed batters, something to keep an eye on. Maybe the polar bear today can get a hold of one again. Polar bears in cold weather, maybe that's why he can perform. You take a look at the Miami lineup going up against Clay Holmes, who last year, 319 batters faced, an 099 ISO and a weighted percentage, a weighted on-base percentage, of 288. You also look at what he's done this year, 46 batters, his ISO percentage, 0. I doubt you're going to be making a lot of hard contact today up at Citi Field in the cold temperatures. Yes, the Mets do win. Do I want to pay that much? No, I don't. Maybe even looking towards the under again as making sense, because how many runs did the Marlins score in this game?
We saw just 2 yesterday. Juan Soto delivered a game-winning, perhaps RBI, in the third inning on a double that scored Frankie Lindor. That was the only run the Mets needed as the Fish were planked on the other side. Miami started off their opening series of this year, a 4-game set against the Pirates, winning 3 of the 4 in walk-off fashion. From that point, they only have 2 wins in their next 6 games. Because of some cold weather early in April, we have moved some games earlier, including the one at Citi Field and the game we will break down on the other side of the break in Detroit between the Tigers and the Yankees. With some best bets before we go up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our final segment together live in studio on this Tuesday morning with a couple of Major League Baseball games to preview for you. DRS, because of some cold and nasty weather really across the country here in early April, we're moving a couple of start times for MLB games today before the sun sets and then it gets unplayable with how cold and windy it might be. For a second consecutive day, afternoon baseball in the Motor City inside Comerica Park, where we see the Tigers taking on the Yankees. Detroit winning the opening game of this set yesterday, 6-2 during the afternoon hours. The Tigers favored to win this game as well. A 6-4 start now for Detroit, the only team in the American League Central with a winning record. Minus 164 in favor of the Tigers. You're not going to see the Yanks this hefty of an underdog often this year, DRS, and a total at 7.5. The reason why, the reigning American League Cy Young winner out there on the mound for Detroit. That's Derek Skubal off to a rough start this year. 0-2, an ERA that's hovering around 5.7 right now. He has allowed 7 earned runs in his opening 2 starts. Can he figure it out today against the Pinstripes?
Yeah, not a great start after a great season last year nonetheless. But you take a look at the pitching versus pitching matchup today. The pedigree certainly on Detroit's side with a Cy Young Award winner. You take a look at Carlos Carrasco, blown away last year. 448 batters he faced, a weighted on base percentage against him, 364, and an ISO power number of 229. That's not great. You take a look at the lineup here for the Detroit Tigers to start. First 4 guys in the lineup, Malloy, Carpenter, Green, and Torkelson. The weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching so far this year, 405, 354, 532, 406, and 467. However, as Ben pointed out, there's a reason why this game is going to be played earlier in the day. 36-degree temperatures at start, but a wind blowing out double digits to center field, which could make things interesting. Again, still not hitting weather conditions, hitting weather based on wind, yes. You flip it over to the New York Yankees, however. Skubal, if we're just going to last year's statistics, forget it, shut it down, freezing cold temperatures. I don't care who the Yankees have at the plate, they're not hitting. But this year, as Ben pointed out, 47 total batters he's faced, 37 of those from the right side. How about this? A 333 ISO to those right-handed batters and a 434 weighted on base percentage. That's astronomically high. And then you take a look at the Yankees up against left-handed pitching this season. Get out of town with this. I'm just going to read you the ISO power numbers of the first 6 guys anticipated in this lineup. 357, 333, 1,000, 250, 412, 294. And then the 8 and 9 hole guys, 200 and 375 as well. Like, this game actually should play to an over. But again, buyer beware, 36 degree temperatures, 10 degrees. What are you feeling like? Under freezing with bats in a bigger ballpark? It's a tough one to try to figure out. But the one thing I don't agree with is how high that line is for Detroit technically, just because it still is the Yankees, and they've been pounding the baseball against lefties.
And Skubal has not been strong to start this year. Paul Skenes in Skenes Day number 26 in the history of Major League Baseball gets the nod today for the Buccos at home inside PNC Park against St. Louis. The Cardinals will send out Sonny Gray because of a DRS. A very short total today between the Pirates and the Cardinals. A couple more minutes left before we head out. How do you approach this matchup in Pittsburgh?
I mean, it's a tough one. It is because, again, you're looking at temperatures in Pittsburgh. It's 35 degrees. Get used to it today. It's a cold weather baseball day, which is it was yesterday, which I passed on the card today. We'll try to find some of those intricacies maybe later in the day. 35 degrees the first pitch, but an 11-mile-an-hour wind that is blowing out to right field. You see the total, though. It's 6.5. It's really low.
Yeah.
But then again, Paul Skenes, 515 batters he faced last year, guys. Unhittable. This year, 44 batters. Unhittable, it feels like, again. So good luck in that lineup there for the Cardinals to try to get some traction. Then we talk about the Pittsburgh bats. Non-significant, if you could say the least, to start the season. Sonny Gray was very good last year. Did struggle with lefties. This year, not struggling with lefties. Struggling with right-handed batters at this point. But there's not enough players in the lineup that I'm going to trust for an over in this game.
Yeah.
Even with Skenes on the mound, I do still think both of these sides probably stay under that total is where I'd look.
And
cold!
It is very cold, basically, in every spot today around MLB. Paul Skenes, 1-0 this year with a 1.46 ERA. Final minute of the show on this Tuesday on TEL. It's time now for a best bet. It's time for Bye Bye Bye.
Bye Bye Bye.
DRS, the best of all your bets on this Tuesday. Where do you go?
Yeah, I guess if we're taking a look, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. Dylan Cease on the West Coast is going to take off Jeffrey Springs.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily a handicap based on what we've seen out of these two pitchers or these lineups. The handicap, Ben, based on where we're playing this game. The Athletics in Sacramento, it's been a bandbox out there. Hitting home runs left and right, went over the total again. So I'm going to look at that game and say to myself, I don't know what the starting lineups are going to be, but if you give me an 8 price in that game, stop the madness, man. Ball's going to fly in that ballpark over out in Oakland late night tonight. How about that?
I go over in the opening half between the Cavaliers and the Bulls tonight in Cleveland at 118. Cleveland with one win officially locks up the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. Chicago doesn't play any defense. Cleveland can score with the best of them around the association. Over 118. That does it for us. Us in studio together. The Early Line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, here on Sportsman.